Thank you for joining us for the second segment of Episode 9. In the first segment of this episode, Pastor Matthew's Gary and Chinfen shared about setting boundaries and having deeper conversations with our children as they enter the new season of primary school. Let's take it from there. How do we navigate conversations with our children about the various influences around them? How do we inform them appropriately without setting fear in their hearts? Gary and Chinfen?
What are some examples you can share with us? You know, let us have a peek into conversations that you've had with your own children around these areas. Yeah. I think that would be very helpful.
Can I just say, Christy, that you said that you don't know whether you'll be ready for the conversation? Even till today, we don't feel ready.
Exactly.
Come on.
I was about to say that.
Can you say that 100 times over? Because I said the same
ready.
Thing. I'm never ready.
Never ready. Never ready. I mean, you know you have to. Yeah.
Especially when they come back with some question, my eyes will be like,
okay. Or they come back with certain things and you're like, wow, we did not expose you to that. Why did you end up, you know?
Did you get
yeah,
that?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Bubble, bubble. But be cool, calm, yeah. Chill.
Oh, yes. Be a little like that, but don't let them see it. Like what Pastor always says,
like
right?
At yeah. the bottom, like then, the nice swan.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
and it's actually okay to not know, right? Like because we have a God who knows everything.
Amen. Amen.
And
amen.
We can go to amen. Him, guys.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
It's a good statement.
Yes.
Thank you.
So very good call out. And that by us sharing, we're also not saying that we are ready. I was reading in a book recently, wow. and it called out the fact that, you know, if you know truly that God takes care of our children, He will show up many opportunities for you to parent them. And they aren't going to be opportunities that you can detect and say, now is the time I can parent my kid. But when God shows it up, He will give you that ability to parent. Yes. All you have to do is to be able to just take it all in and say, God, what do you want me to
do? Oh, so good.
That this is like that fast prayer that you, you know, Pastor always said, like that groan will reach the throne. Yeah. Like, oh, you know, what do I say now, God?
Must it be now?
Like, yeah, so yes, must it be now? And that, okay, if the moment comes now, then great, let's okay. just jump into it and lean hard on that grace.
Oh yes, lean hard on
yeah,
that grace.
So we can only tell you of those moments where we are lean hard on that grace. I think a very good topic to pick up was really, Pastor, you talked about the technological device and yeah. that social media bit. I think this is a big topic even for wow. us in our yeah. household. So maybe just to give you a bit more context, you talked about having to come into alignment. Yeah. Again, this is a topic that Gary and myself, we talked about it early. We decided that, okay, we're going to be, right, rather strict parents. We will only introduce to them their phones in secondary school. Mm. But we struggle with that, to be honest, because yeah. P1, when they went to school, then they came back and, Mama, my friends have iPads. They have five iPads.
What?
We are like, we don't
why
know
do
whether you're serious or, you know, but five iPads, I can't believe it, right?
Yeah.
So I said, well, five iPads, they have their phone, you know. And up till now, even in P6, my daughter is still telling me every day, why is it that my friends have phone and wow. I can't have, but they have accepted it. And we jokingly say sometimes when you're going to get your phone, if you can show us that you're a lot more responsible, you know, and that we feel that you're ready, then let's, yeah. But we never shut down the topic.
Mm,
so
right.
I love the fact that you called out Pastor about engaging them because they tell you and they have all these comments as and when they like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't shut it down. Yeah. So in our household, yes, use of phone and social media is something that we take it with a lot of weight.
Wow. Mm.
We have deliberated. So over good. Time, we started with P1, P2, I think P3, right, Gary? We were stricter. Then we said no TV. Then we realized, wow, everybody's doing TV every day. Then our poor kids are like, oh dear, no TV at all.
Conversation until, topics with their friends.
Yes. Yeah, so they come back and they share with us. And my daughter, in fact, came home one day and said, Mama, I feel so bad for myself.
Oh.
Like my friends get at least half an hour and they tell me about these programs that I've never heard of. Wow. I feel so sad.
Oh.
You know, and well, that guilt eats away at you, right? You're like, oh, what?
Again, they want to connect with their friends.
Yes, it's true. And those are the moments where we say, okay, but hey, this program that you're watching, do you know what it's about? Is it good for you?
Yeah,
and we
good.
Literally had
good.
Those conversations and say,
so
if you really want to watch, okay, let us find a bit of a teaser. Then 2 minutes into the thing, they say, no, I don't want to watch it.
Oh.
And we were there with them. We said that, look, we will sit with you if you really do want to know what that's about.
Yeah.
Of course, we've watched it first, but we will tell them that we heard you. Mm. If you want to, let us expose you a little bit to what, and we make sure that we are there to debrief with you. Yeah. But eventually, they are the ones who say, no, no, I don't think I want to do this, right? So, yeah, that's just one of those things that we take it with a lot of weight. And for us, I think managing that use, making sure that it's not overused, and monitoring the time that they have on the devices is very key for us. So. Yeah.
Actually, this reminds me of an example my friend shared with me about her daughter and the use of handphones. So actually, they didn't give her a handphone for quite some time. And she said, like, but my friends all have, like, can I have also? So then they exposed her to it and she was added into many like chat groups with like friends, right? Yeah. And after a while, she said, oh, mama, I don't think I need this anymore. This is so distracting on the chats.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, they're so distracting on the chats. I cannot focus and they're just sending nonsense. Like, let me get out of this. I don't want to be
in it
anymore.
And the child decided this for herself.
Yes, that's amazing. I thought that was amazing. Wow.
And that's true, that's true. So, onto that point as well, we didn't stop having our children connect with their friends because they have multiple chat groups. So, we said, you can use our phones.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
And you use our numbers, you go into the chat group, but you only get to do that maybe 5-10 minutes a day when we are back home, right? Okay. So
supervised,
at our certain time,
yes, it is.
Boundaries are being put there in place.
Good. But you'd be surprised. I mean, when I'm at work, I get like 500-600 messages. Hi, hi.
Hi, everybody just go hi.
So that's, you know, that kind of exposure is what you have to be prepared if you give the phones to the kids, right? Yeah, so maybe Gary, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we actually start from young, not in terms of handphone, but in terms of screen time. So when it comes to TV time, we started with that, right?
Right.
We do it on weekends only and make it really fun with them.
So what do you do?
Oh, we watch movies.
Okay.
Their favorite movies.
They ask for the movie.
They get to choose.
Or you choose the movie.
No, they choose.
Okay.
They choose, but some where we don't recommend, then we will tell them why.
Okay. Yeah.
Also, there's a conversation that goes on
there
as well.
Also, yes, every time there's
like what Chinfen mentioned earlier, right? In school, the friends will be talking about certain movies.
Yeah.
Right? And then they will come back and say that I've not watched that movie before, so I cannot be involved in the conversations. Yeah. So that's one of the things that, you know, we actually watch the teaser and ask them, do you think you want to watch it?
Right.
They will come to us and say that, no, we do not want to.
Yeah, but you'll be very surprised. Kids today, even in P3, P4, I think some parents liberally allow them to watch adult content or horror content or even the books. I mean, at P6, my daughter brings me to Popular and say, here are all the series. And I look, they are adult fiction.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those are the times where we just really have to put our foot down and say, look, we're not here to control you. Mm. We're here to guide you.
Yeah. Mm.
And these are the contents that we will say no to for now.
So you've laid it out for the child.
Yes.
Can I just say, I really love how like your children wanted to connect with their friends over these topics, right? But they brought it home to connect with you first. And you took time to connect with them.
Yeah.
That's good.
Like they had that beautiful connection at home that they craved for in the school. Yeah. And then when they realized that, hey, actually, there's nothing nice to talk about. Then they went back not wanting to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
We're thankful for that, I think, by the grace of God. I mean, but there are mistakes that we made as well when we came a bit heavy-handed, right?
Okay.
Certainly, certainly. Yeah.
Welcome to parenting again. I feel so comforted
every day,
in this
you
episode.
Know, we're leaning on the grace of God. Like, what do we do now?
Share with us the mistakes.
We're just glad that we have communities.
Yeah.
So some of the mistakes that we made, we, of course, spoke with our friends and we also seek advice. We spoke with Pastor Matthews over some matters as well. It was so good advice given to us.
Yes. Yeah,
the continuous conversation we must have, especially for father.
Yes, right? Especially for dad.
That's
for
dads,
right? That's something that he was encouraging me, especially for now. I need to speak more with my daughter, especially now in P6.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, it was important. At least we spoke with them, right? We spoke with Pastor Matthew, who was telling us to limit the use of a handphone.
Yeah.
In fact, it would be good to delay the time of them having their own handphone. In a very young age, for like P1, P2, we started talking to them like, you will only get your handphone in Sec 3. Huh? Sec 3? That's 15 years old. Huh? I'm only 7 years old. 8 more years.
I mean, also, I also wanted to call out, I think, Gary, we spoke about a couple of practical tips that we learned ourselves and that we want to call out to parents. I think when we are using devices, because everything is online, right? Grocery ordering also online. When you work, you also work on the phone. You check the Bible also on the phone.
Yes.
So even pastor has preached about that over the pulpit. Yes. Whatever that you're doing, it's good to consciously call that out. That, oh, I'm ordering groceries now. Or, I'm reading the Bible now. Or that when we read the Bible, we try to, whatever that's available in hard copy. I think we are a bit archaic, but today we still order newspaper in paper format.
Wow.
So that where we can be seen reading and that we can consciously cut out some articles to share with them.
So
some practical ones would be to really tell them when we are using our devices what we are doing. There are also conversations and prep courses I feel that you can go for. So for social media, right, Gary, I mean for the phone usage, I remember when they are P4, P5, they go through sex education in school. But prior to that as well, I started to get a collection of books that talks about birds and bees, go through with them talking about, you know, their development, and even online programs where they get introduced to what are the number of hours that will be saved to keep on online. What is pornography?
Wow.
Just very basic information, like if you see some undesirable...
Don't go too much into the details.
Not at all.
Like
not at all.
That's but like age-appropriate.
Exactly, yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Very good,
Yeah, so telling them that if you meet certain situations or you see some things online, just in the course of you doing work, when you see them, what do you do?
Yeah.
Make sure that you come back and tell us, have conversations, and that you can make mistakes, but at the end of the day, family is still here for you.
So good.
So having all those conversations that will provide some guardrails in terms of what they may encounter on social media through technological devices, and then making sure that they always have that safety net to be able to talk about anything at all with us.
Yeah.
Because it's not just the use of devices, these technological devices. Sometimes, like for us,
them,
right?
Yeah,
for us, like, we limit the use of such devices, right? But in school, their friends have the handphone. And they're exposed to that. So,
and they pass information pictures
pass,
around.
And they're
watching this already. Because they are free with the use of their phone.
They are. Like our son comes back doing some K-pop dances that he's not seen. And we're like, where, you know? And they know all the song titles.
All the genre of pop songs. And we're like, where do you hear that from? So they're exposed in school. Yes, I love what my wife shared earlier. We prep them ahead of time. So that when things happen, there's an open door for them to actually have that conversation with us. So that's important.
I'm so glad you said just now that both of you have a mutual stand on issues. Because you've already discussed it between yourselves. There's certain things that we will hold, certain things that we don't hold. Certain things that we will accept, certain things we don't accept. And I love that because when you're doing that, there's clarity in your parenting. I feel for the lack of that, there's no clarity. And again, as a pastor, I tend to hear this. Oh, my husband allows for this. I don't allow for this. Have you heard this before? And it's really heart-rending, you know. And
it's confusing for the children too. Can you imagine like on the day that the mom's not free and then like they get to do these things with the dad and then it's like, oh, keep it a secret. Okay, it's between you and I.
That's true.
So these things are like happening out there. And we just want to encourage you as parents, as people have gone on a little bit ahead of you guys. If you can, don't let this bring division into the family. Your common stance on issues, the fact that you model it right for your kids. These are important things to hold fast. In the terms of ideas that they bring up, words that they may use, things that they've witnessed in technological issues, for example.
And can I say that as much as we are aligned, but actually we constantly have conversations because there might be some scenarios or situations you're not prepared for, you realize that you are majorly aligned on many things. But when the small details come up sometime, like you then realize that, hey, actually my tolerance level for this could be a little bit higher or maybe lower. But so as much as we're saying that you have conversations with your kids, actually all the more you need to have regular conversations with the spouse. Every time I think, you know, where there are situations that come up, we will also check in and say, hey, this thing came up, what do we do now? What's our stand? That is not just technological, but it could be behavior, attitude, discipline issues and all that. So please don't ever get tired.
Again, a word out to parents, when your child presents this to you, don't have to make a decision immediately. Hold fast to it. Listen to what the child has to say. Ask questions. And if you don't have a common stand on the issue, take it back and discuss it with your spouse. And then come back and address the issue again. Don't feel pressured to give an answer immediately.
So good.
Just want to throw that out to the parents.
That's so good. Yeah.
Because sometimes we tend to react and respond immediately, right? Yes.
I love it that when our children comes and tell us certain things, because we are very deliberate to tell them that there are no secrets in our home. Right? There's no need to lie or cheat. We just remind them that, you know, this truth as well as their identity in Christ.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That they are loved by us, they are loved by God.
Yeah.
They do not need to cheat or lie. They can tell us. Sometimes it's not by because they deliberately, sometimes it's because their friends show it to them.
Mm. Yes.
Or they accidentally, in the process of their schoolwork, they come across certain things that's...
Or perhaps some people in school just tell them, oh, you saw this, don't tell your parents, okay?
Yeah.
But that's not great, right? They need to know that there are no things that they're not supposed to tell their parents.
Yeah.
Because then they will start keeping secrets and then they're like, oh, everything is like stuck inside and they don't know how to let it out.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the last thing they want is that, you know, we are judgmental towards their friend.
Mm.
Right? And which is why they kind of like don't want to say, where they got this from.
Mm.
In case we say that, oh,
Don't meet that friend anymore.
Because friendship really matters to them.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, true.
That's true. I'm grinning at the side because it's so true. It's quite common, right? Parents are so protective. Then you hear about how this person is not very nice to your daughter or your son. And you say, maybe this is not very good influence. Hang out less.
Oh,
so maybe this very nicely segue to another topic that we thought we'll share out of the few conversations. Friendship issues.
Yes. Mm.
So I think, Pastor, you talked about friendship issues as well as being one of those very key ones. I really want to reinforce as well what you called out in the sequence of engage, empathize, and educate.
Yeah.
Because recollecting back, our son, I think less of that, but maybe in a girl's school, have a lot more friendship issues, right?
Yeah.
And then I often find that the many times where she talks to me about it are the least expected times.
Wow.
You know, like how after school you fetch them, then, talking about that, you know, if your kid is transiting, going into primary school or changing class, right? When they do that in P3s, for example, or P5s, especially where there are changes, please spend a little bit more time and effort to take time out and say, hey, I'm going to maybe... take them out for lunch, spring a surprise, bring them out to go for comfort food, let them talk. Because whenever they go through transition, it's like when we change our company, right? Or we change
it's
a boss.
It
affects them much more than we know. So if we want to talk to our boss about some changes, they would similarly do the same thing. We just need to provide that avenue and that listening ear.
Mm.
So back to the three E's as well. I realized that the moments where we ask them, they're not ready to talk about it, but they talk about it. I think many parents have always told us the times when you walk them to school, the times especially before they sleep, when lights off, maybe they just feel like there's a safe space, no judgment, can't see your face, you can see my face.
That's good, right?
Right? Yeah. And then, you know, after they do their devo, they start telling you, Mama, I went through this, you know, you can end off with a prayer. Or sometimes if you start them on the habit of journaling, which was the case for my daughter, as I poured through and looked through with her journals, I realized, for example, that there was this name that commonly comes out in the journal. And then that's when I started picking out and say, hey, you know, this name seems to come out quite a lot.
Mm.
And then that's when they will start telling you, this is what the friend did, for example, or here are some of the feelings that I really feel. So I think friendship matters a lot to them.
Mm.
And it really goes beyond being friendly to make friends at their age in primary school. That's a lot of comparisons. They have a greater awareness of the material possessions they have.
Yeah.
Whether or not you like it, some maybe not from your child, maybe your child, but the louder the person is, they tend to be some influencers.
Mm.
And even if you and your family don't place a lot of emphasis on material possessions, people can still talk about the kind of holiday they've gone surprisingly, I don't know where that came from, the brand of cars that parents drive.
Wow.
The bags that they have, you know, how much allowance they get.
Oh.
For example, how you look. Like, so there was a period of time, you know, being very vulnerable.
Body image.
Yes, body image. So in P1, my daughter tends to keep short hair, and then she came back one day and she said, my friends call me a tomboy. Mama, am I tomboy? In your eyes, am I tomboy?
Did you know the meaning of tomboy?
Yeah, so I have to actually debrief that with her and then, you know, I have to tell her that it's not so much about how you look, it's who God made you to be. And some people could be less, I don't know what you call it, maybe feminine in a way, you know, you don't have curls and you don't like dresses, doesn't make you a boy.
Yeah.
For example.
Yeah.
And then recently my son came back P4 and he said, Mom, I need to wear braces. I really don't like my teeth. My friend says that my teeth are jutting out.
Oh, again, friends.
Friends.
Always,
you know,
coming back to this, right?
And it's, yeah, exactly. And in our family, I think the person who cares least about how he looks.
And suddenly became important for
suddenly became, yes. And then there was a period of time where, you know, COVID, right? They are so used to masks. And I think many children struggle with that. When they had to take off their mask, they start realizing they feel so shy of how they look. And then that's the period where my daughter came back and said, "Mommy, why do I have two moles on my face?"
Oh.
My friends joked about the size of my mole. And then turn it into a joke. We say, "Do you not know that in the olden times, moles are meant to be like a sign of beauty?"
Stories behind the moles. Come on, I've read some.
Yes, and all the, you know, the Chinese.
They would dot the mole on themselves.
And different moles at different places have a different significance.
Exactly, right.
And good things.
Yes. Yeah. And they come back with all these mental pictures of what it looks like to be slim. And K-pop, right? Everybody is slim.
Flawless, complex.
Yes, yeah.
Perfect body.
Shiny.
I did not realize body image starts at P1. Primary one.
It does, yes. So all
it's
this
like getting
around,
accelerated
very,
now.
Very much so. I think it's not the same as what we used to because of all the influences of social media and also friends. Kids, sometimes they could be really sensitive, but sometimes they could also not be socially aware. So it really depends. They could be subjected to some sense of emotional, hopefully not physical, but some form of bullying. Online bullying takes place as well.
That's right.
And that's comparison trap. So it's very important for us to constantly have these conversations and guide them and remind them that, look, your identity is in Christ.
So good. Yeah.
And that we love you no matter what. And so I was just going to raise up one point that I think we try to overdo it a bit in good times, not in bad times, when there are no struggles. Just before they sleep and all that, when you can remember, it's the best time to remind them. The reinforcement of no secrets, that it's okay to make mistakes. Wow. There's no judgment of
no
you.
Judgment.
And that we always love you. No matter how well you do, we will always be here. We may not be perfect, but our heart is to love you. Because when they go through the challenges, when they're in the midst, when their voices of their friends are already said to them.
Yeah.
And then you try to override that at that point in time, I think that's a lot harder. So reinforce all these things whenever you have the opportunity to, so that it becomes that inner voice at the early stage.
Because
there are
nights where we actually share things that didn't go right for us, that we feel bad.
Mm.
Of course, the four of us, right, will share what went bad for you today.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it. And then at the end of it, then we'll pray over it.
So, wow.
Yeah, so, I think we use like, what's the apple today? What's the lemon? The lemon being the sour one.
Yeah.
That's so cute. So, you know,
apple is the sweet one.
Yeah.
And those are actually done during the good days.
Mm.
Not during the bad days.
Okay.
The good days.
Wow.
Yeah, so they will share. So that when times are really, you know, challenging for them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they will open up to us because they are used to it.
Wow. So many good things that were shared today. We need to bring this to a close.
We do.
Because we want to, but we have to. I remember a message shared in New Creation Church just recently that shielding a child from these external negative influences is not the way. And I know we've been talking about that.
Yeah.
It's having conversations. It's not shielding.
Mm.
To prepare the child and to build resilience in the child is the best way to instill ongoing success and the building of virtue and character. This can only be imparted by walking a journey with a child. And as you've rightly pointed out, Jennifer and Gary, many times, it's about being open and telling them, hey, this is what we do. This is how we are. You know, no condemnation, no separation. Sounds like a Romans 8 kind of verse. No condemnation, no separation.
Nothing can separate us.
Nothing can separate us, not even death or life.
Amen.
Can separate us from the love of God, right?
Amen.
Nor height, nor depth, nor principalities, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. I wish if you can just take a little bit of that and pinch it and put it into our own families, it will work wonders for us as our God does it for us. We do it as parents to our own kids. Nothing separates us. So again, children learn from their mistakes, right? As adults do, and all the adults say amen.
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 I'm trying to stop the child from making mistakes, being overly protective of the child by prematurely fixing their mistakes before they can experience it for themselves and then make losses out of it, perhaps, you know. This may not teach them the right skills and attitude to handle their own wrong actions and decisions. So again, it's coming back to not shielding the child, to build resilience for the child. We've been talking about this over and over again in the last two episodes, building resilience over the child and developing a sense of ownership. Let the child develop that ownership in the things that the child believes in, so that they can run with it. It's not because somebody else said they've got, but they believe in it, right? Amen. They own it. Sounds like a little harsh. You know, how do we allow our kids to go through this and we not shield them? You know, sometimes it's not that. Just wanted to be really real. I've seen that and applied that in my own home. If my kids forgot to bring their textbook, for example, Rachel and I have decided that we will not drive down and send the textbook and save them. We will not save them. That they will need to answer to the teacher as to why. Because not only builds courage in them, but gives them the sense, I should be a little more diligent. I want to take care of myself. I want to own this thing. I need to see value in the fact that I need to pack my bag before the night and bring my books to school. You're teaching them a lot of things by not running quickly and fixing the issue.
Yep. Yeah.
And I've seen that really work. We're not trying to be hard-hearted and cruel. These are learning things. And the same way the adults learn through these things. Because no one's going to bail us out when we go to our workplaces and then we missed out on some things. We will need to make an explanation for it. Yes. And there must be justification for it to our bosses. Likewise, and that's how we learn. We will not do this again the same way. Likewise, our kids, right? So it's a learning point for them. We must return to the original truth that we've been always sharing over and over again in our podcast. And it's about training up the child in the way he should go. You alluded to that in this episode, Gary. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. It's training up the child in the way he should go. Which means, and sometimes parents take a step back and just, you know what? I trust God to fix this issue because He will never let my child go.
Amen.
And we've always noticed that that always works.
I just wanted to add to that, right? That, you know, our children don't need us to be their savior.
Oh, beautiful. Oh,
so like, we want to save them from like the bullies in school.
But we can't.
Yeah, but we can't. We can't always be there, right? Yeah. Throughout their entire life.
We can
life,
teach we can't. Them, educate
yes.
them,
yes.
listen to them.
Yes.
Yeah. Pray
and
for
that's
them.
That's what a coach does, right?
That's what coach does.
Yeah. So exactly. We are not supposed to be their savior because they have a savior.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's Jesus Christ. Our role is just to be a pointer to point them to Christ.
Amen.
And I love
Amen.
That we get to do that because it also reminds ourselves that, hey, we also need some saving.
Yes.
Right? That we're only human and God is in control.
Amen.
Right? I love everything that we've shared and we really need to close this episode and this series. I love that we talked about leaping into love by engaging, by empathizing and educating. I love what Chinfen said. No
so
secrets,
good.
No failures. So they are good. Not accepted. No judgment. And we'll always love you. It sounds like what God says to all of us, right?
Yes.
Even as parents. There are no secrets with Him. No failures. They are not accepted with Him. That He has no judgment for us and He always loves us. You know, and so as parents, I think I just want to round up this portion that we just need to remind our children of their identity in Christ.
Amen.
All these topics are huge. They may take us by surprise when it happens. And we may not have the answers, but we have God. And our children have God. And our children just need us to point them to God. And we just need to take the conversation together with God.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, so as we come to the end of the series on restfully preparing for primary school, do you have any final words for our listeners, Pastor?
Oh, wow. Perhaps it may be a little bit of a summary and then I really feel impressed to close us in prayer. So let me just quickly summarize this. Parents have a relationship with the Lord first. Since parenting started with you, if you have a relationship with the Lord translates that and it'll help you parent your child.
Yeah.
Because you're allowing our Lord and Savior to parent us.
Yeah.
Secondly, have a vision for your child. See how you see your child developing, growing, a child, woman, a young man in the Lord. Have this vision. Repeat it to yourself. See, don't call out what you see, call out what you want to see. We spoke about
so
that.
Yeah.
Establish the child's identity as a beloved child of the Lord. You can never fail when this is your primary objective. Number three, in your preparations and conversations, keep it an ongoing process. You'll never be 100% fully prepared. Only God is prepared. But you know, our part as a coach is just to have conversations.
Yeah.
And it's ongoing, right? What does a coach do? This is the mantra a coach uses. Repeat for best results. Just repeat for best results. If I didn't say it again, see, you notice? Repeat for best results. It's a good tagline. It's great for effective parenting. And if they need to call you a nag, no, you're not. You're just pointing out what you really want to see them shape and grow into. And never apologize for it, right? they will catch it one day. It's like, you know, we receiving the gospel of grace in church. After 20 years, I'm still learning new things. And it's been shared so often that I'm still learning new things because it's repeat for best results. That's the fifth time I said it. Number four, we need the wisdom and counsel of the Holy Spirit, parents. Is that right?
Yep.
You cannot do parenting without the Lord's help. Only because He created your child and He knows your child better than you do. And number five, we need the fellowship and the counsel of the community as well. You've heard this said by Gary and Chinfen many times. The times when they had failed, didn't know what to do, they sought the good counsel that came from around them. And that's what being planted in a great church is all about. That's why, parents, you're listening to this podcast because you're seeking good counsel. And I'm so glad you've chosen the good part which will never be taken away. These are the foundations that we are focused on in this podcast for restfully preparing for primary school. In closing, a strong tree is defined by its deep roots. These foundations are like the roots of a tree that go down deep into the river next to which it is planted. And according to Psalms 1, that tree will bring forth fruit in its season.
Amen.
Which means your kids will produce results. Amen. Its leaves shall not wither, which means that the results, success will be sustained through the long haul of education. Number three, and it shall prosper. And we all want our children and families to be blessed this way. So I'm just going to close this in a word of prayer, if you can pray with me as well, Chinfen, Gary, Christy. Father, I thank you for these parents tuning in to this podcast to learn. Prepare their hearts, Lord, just as much as you are preparing the hearts of their child or children entering into the life of school. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who will walk this journey with each parent and child. You said that we should learn from you because your yoke is easy and your burden is light, and that we will find rest in our souls. You will never fail us nor forsake us, and you will never put us to shame. Thank you, Lord. We receive your wisdom, your love, your strength for this journey. We know that because you always go before us, we will be blessed. Prosper us, Lord, and cause us to be blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.
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 Wow. Pastor Matthews, Gary and Chinfen, thank you so much for walking us through the transition and preparation for primary school. I love that we didn't just speak to the hands and feet that are preparing for the transition, but we spoke to the hearts and the souls of our listeners. We spoke shalom peace into their hearts so that they may truly go about this transition restfully, as per what we set out in our series title. We also equipped their hands and feet with practical handles and tips to not just survive this transition, but to walk on water with their eyes fixed on Jesus. Parents, throughout the episodes in the series, we endeavored to paint a picture of the cross for all of us, because we cannot win at parenting without Christ and His finished work.
Amen.
When we see God's heart for us and we define success God's way, we allow Him to take charge in our lives and in our children's lives, because He loves them infinitely more than our human hearts can. Knowing that His plans for us are good, and that He has a future and a hope for us and our children, will set our hearts at rest and will parent out of rest. This position of rest will flow to our children through our words and actions, and they will catch the same spirit of rest going through this transition. Be greatly blessed, highly favored, and deeply loved.